We'll read our text this morning, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Okay, let's begin reading in verse number 11. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 11. Solomon says, "Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it." Note the first phrase of verse 13. Consider the work of God. You could almost just pause right there and unpack that for not just the rest of the day, but I mean, you'd spend the rest of your life unpacking that. Consider the work of God. Amen. Note what he says next. "For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked?" There's only one who can do that. That would be God. Father, I pray your blessings. We need you today. We confess that without you, we can do nothing. Not just because you declare it, but Lord, our experience also has shown us that. And in the times when perhaps our flesh or our pride steps up and tells us that we can do things without you, Lord, in faith we trust that we cannot. And we need you today. So I pray for your help, your blessing. Guide us in your path. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. The title that is in the bulletin is a little different than what the title is. Now I changed the title. So the title is this morning. It's "Seek God, Not Money." Seek God, not money. Now, we like to play, well, we don't play it often, but we have played the game Monopoly a lot. Now, the point of the game Monopoly is very simple. Get all the money. That's it. I mean, get all the property, get all the money, and destroy everybody else in the process. You know. Now, if you make it to the end of that game, all the way to the end, that's an epic feat. I can't remember very many times that we have ever started that game that we finished it. You know, you have to be ruthless. And it's not a good game to play if you're dating somebody. You know, you got to just let them win. Just let them win. So Monopoly is a game, but honestly, that's how people operate in real life often. And what I mean by that is they see success in this life is if you get the money. So people chase that. They pursue that. Those that win are those that have the money. Those that don't win are those that don't have the money. It's just that plain and simple in the world we live in. Money runs the world, but it ought not run our lives as believers. Solomon, in his day, he was given wisdom from God, and he understood something about the wisdom of God that people often don't understand, and he's communicating that to his people. He wants his people not to embrace the worldly philosophy of the importance or how the world views money and the importance of money, but what Solomon wants his people to understand is the importance of wisdom. Now, Solomon is not saying that money doesn't have importance. He's not saying that money doesn't have a significant role in our lives at times. He's not saying that money isn't a part of what God can use to bring blessings in our life. As a matter of fact, sometimes the blessings that God wants to produce in our life, he does through the blessing of money. And so the point isn't wisdom over money. Get rid of your money, have wisdom. No, what Solomon is saying here is that you can have money, but you also need to have wisdom with that. And if you had one over the other, wisdom is better than money. And that's where there's a disruption often in our thinking as believers. Now, we might not always admit it, but it's true that our thinking is there where we pursue, we see money as a way of having the joy and the happiness. And when we don't have the money, the joy and the happiness isn't there. Not that we don't see the wisdom of God as important. We often live like the world lives, where money is where you win. If you have the money, then you win. Well, know what Solomon says in our passage beginning in verse number 11. He says this, wisdom is good, and then he said this, with an inheritance. Now, inheritance is future money. And Solomon is saying, future money is good if you have wisdom along with that money. He goes on in that verse and he says, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. The word profit is how Solomon describes somebody who has money, but then also has wisdom. He says, you'll find profit there. It's not just the acquisition of property and money and possessions, but it's wisdom that goes along with acquisitions like that. That's what he's identifying. That's where you'll find the real profit. Look what he says in verse 12. He says, for wisdom is a defense, and then he says, and money is a defense. Now, the word defense means a shadow or a shade. And what it literally is talking about is protection. So it's commonly understood that money would be a defense or a protection. Solomon indicates that both wisdom is a protection and money is a protection in this life. Look what he says next. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. So although you'll find protection with wisdom, and you'll find a level of protection with money, Solomon indicates that it's wisdom that gives life. So the implication is this. If you have wisdom, even though you don't have money, you still have life. I think maybe some of us could fit into that category. It might be that you can say, wow, this is the message just for me because I don't have a lot of money. So I can still have the kind of blessed life too? Yes. As a matter of fact, according to Solomon, and if we live and act in faith, here's what we can trust about God, is that wisdom is actually better. If you had to have one over the other, then wisdom is better. Yes. Now, you can have both. And if you want to have the kind of profit that only God can give you, then you need to have wisdom with money. Because just having money isn't enough. I think we can see that here. Yes. Now, most people wouldn't go into it that way. That's why the lottery is such a big thing. And I sure hope not in this room, but the lottery is a big thing. Because people think if they have the money, then they have it all that they need. That's where the pursuit of this life is for most people. And I'm not just talking about the world, but we could just stay there for a minute. The world is a giant game of monopoly, ultimately. People are trying to acquire. Most of the time, we feel like we're on the losing end of it. And other people are acquiring our property and our possessions through whatever means, taxes. Anyway. So, however it is that we're losing our possessions or we don't have as much acquisition in this life, at times we feel like because of that, we're losing. But that's a worldly way of thinking. The world thinks that way. The world pursues money. And by the way, we live in a world where there are a lot of people who have acquired much. And they have great possessions. Now, you can't always identify them on the street or at the grocery store or at the coffee shop. Sometimes you can if you see them drive up in their really nice car. That doesn't always tell the story either. But there's a world that we live in that has a lot of people who have acquired the possessions, the money, and in this life, from the world's perspective, they've won. But you know, if they're honest, and we understand God's perspective, and if they're honest, they would say, you know, I've won, but I don't feel like I've won. You know, and that's what God is saying here. If you have possession, if you have the money, if you have the acquisition of blessings that way, it's okay. God can bless you in that state as long as you have wisdom in accord. You can find profit there. But what we need more than money, what we need more than money is we need God. We need Him. We need wisdom. And we need wisdom that only God can give us. And that's what Solomon here is indicating. A person doesn't need money to have a blessed life. Ooh. I'm going to say that again. That gave me a little bit of a chill. We don't have to have money to have a blessed life. That's what he's saying. You have wisdom of God, you have life. If you just have that, it's enough. Now we have to embrace that. We have to embrace it by faith. Why? Because the world we live in does not have that standard. And we grow up in this world we live in. And so often we embrace the standard of the world. We just do it by default. So we have to, by faith, trust that God, what God says here is true. Amen. And you can have that. Now, why is it true then, Pastor? Why is it true? Well, our text isn't done. Let's go ahead and see why God said it's true that wisdom is better. Verse 13. Well, consider the work of God. By the way, let's go ahead and put it in context. Those of us who don't have money, consider the work of God. Amen. Well, what is the work of God? Well, he says, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? What does that mean? Well, it means, but first of all, when you consider the work of God, we're talking about the power of God. The power of the creator of the universe. All that you see, God created it. In the beginning, God created. That's Elohim, creator. Then you jump to chapter 14, when he is called the Most High God. That's El Elyon. Do you know what that name of God means in Genesis 14? As Melchizedek and Abraham are in conversation with each other. The Most High God means possessor of heaven and earth. It means Elohim, God created it all. El Elyon, the Most High God, means he owns it all. Amen. He created all of it, and he owns all of it. So even those who have lots of possession, whether you're here or out there, you have possessions, God owns it all. Amen. He owns it all. So he's the powerful God. When you consider the work of God, you're considering the power of God. But then he says this, who can make the straight, can make straight that which was crooked. That means that God can make adversity into good. Amen. Think about that for a minute. God, who created it all, who owns it all, he knows where you are. He knows you love him. He knows you're serving him. He knows you don't have a lot. And so what he can do in your life, he can do in your life what money can't even do for you. Amen. He can make your circumstances that are not good from our perspective, from our view. We look at our situation and we think, this isn't good. God can take the worst and he can make it into good. He can make straight that which is crooked. Amen. Only God can do that. And we serve the God who can do that. And when we live in his wisdom, in obedience to him, we give him the ability to do that in our life. When we pursue money, when we pursue possessions, often we forfeit that kind of blessing because we're not living in wisdom and we're not living in faith. You know what, God, it's like in Hosea when God said, I don't even know if we're there, or maybe, you know, we already have been through chapter 6, and where he says, Ephraim has pursued idols, leave him alone. What that means is when you pursue life without the wisdom of God and you're doing it your way, God will let you do that. But then you'll get the other end of the stick, like we said Sunday night. You'll get the consequences of that, and God will let you have that. And that'll be the judgment that you'll experience. You won't experience the blessing of God. You won't see God take that which is crooked and make it straight. But if you live in the wisdom of God, in faith in God, whether you have great possessions or not, God will do that in your life. You'll be able to look back and think, whoa, look what God did. This is miraculous how God made all of this work together. Amen. I didn't see how it was going to come together, but we lived in faith, and look what God did. Yeah. I found this story that really illustrates how Christians live today. It's a story about a farmer. The farmer bounded joyfully into his kitchen one day, confronting his wife with a big grin on his face. He announced to her that their finest cow had just given birth to twins, one brown one and one white one. He said, "I feel the impulse to dedicate one of these cows to the Lord. We'll bring them up together, and when they're marketable, at the age where they're marketable, we'll sell them. We'll keep the proceeds from one of the cows, and we'll give the proceeds of the other cow straight to the Lord." Well, his wife went right to the issue, as wives have a tendency to be able to do. And she asked him, "Well, which cow is the Lord's, the brown one or the white one?" And he replied, "Well, there's no need for us to worry about that right now. We'll decide on that later. We'll just raise them up together for now." Well, it would have been months later. He came into the same kitchen where his wife was, and he was walking a little more slowly and sad. His wife asked, "Why was he so sad?" To which he replied, "I have bad news. The Lord's cow died." Why is it always the Lord's cow that dies? In this life, when our thinking isn't the way that it should be, then what we do is we pursue things to try to make things better for our life, and we forget to pursue what matters more than that, and that is God. We seek to advance, we seek to find, bounty and blessing, but what we'll find along the way is that we've neglected the thing that matters the most, the wisdom of God, the work of God in our life. This kind of thinking affects why or how people make decisions. And often, sometimes it affects how we make decisions. Amen. Like, for example, why we get the job or seek the job or career that we seek. Why we treat people the way we do. Why we give or we don't give. It's because we often see blessings as coming through finances rather than through the wisdom of God. What we need is God. Amen. What we don't need is money. And often we forget that. Abraham Lincoln, in his speech in 1863, said this. He said, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven," speaking of the United States of America. "We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in number, wealth, power as no other nation has ever grown." He says, "But we have forgotten God." He says, "We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with the unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity" — too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. We do, if we're willing to admit it, have a tendency when things aren't going so well that we try to find a way of making the ends meet before we seek God. We do have a tendency when things are going very well to not consider God because things are going very well. So it doesn't matter which side of the financial spectrum we find ourselves, we have a temptation and a tendency to not put God in his right place and to make the wisdom of God of more value than the financial status that we have. I love that song. In fact, it's one of my favorite songs, "Little Is Much When God Is In It."
Amen.
Listen to the next line. Labor not for wealth or fame. Labor not for wealth or fame. We have to purposely decide not to think that way. And there's nobody who's immune to that. I read a story about a basketball coach named Speedy Morris. And he was in his, I'm assuming Speedy is a nickname. But anyway, Speedy Morris. He was in his bathroom. He was shaving, all lathered up. He was about halfway done with his shaving. And his wife hollered from downstairs up to him that someone was on the phone. And it was Sports Illustrated, and they wanted to talk to him. And he was so excited. He thought, man, this is my opportunity to become nationally renowned. So he dropped the razor, took off half shaved. By the way, before he dropped the razor, nicked himself. So the lather on his face was mixed with blood. Rushed over, slipped, and fell down the flight of stairs. When he finally limped his way to the phone and he picked up the phone, excited to hear about the interview with Sports Illustrated, someone on the other end of the line said, "For just 75 cents an issue, you can subscribe to Sports Illustrated." It was a salesperson. And you know, that often illustrates the pursuit that we have in this life. That we're looking for that great opportunity, not just for fame, but for possessions and for advancement. So perhaps maybe we could go from where we are to here. And then in this life, because our thinking isn't right, this is when we'll win. But you'll find that you'll never get there. The world doesn't have anything to offer us that causes us to have what only God can give us. We need to decide that we're going to seek God. We have to change the way we think about this so that we'll seek Him instead of seeking possessions. Mercy, it would have been over 10 years ago. Melissa and I were in Falls City and the church had just a few people there, and the church was on the verge of closing its doors for good when we went, just a few people. And it was our desire to see the church grow. And we watched God do that through the years. It was a miraculous thing He did there in Nebraska. Early on, though, we didn't have a lot of money. In fact, we didn't have any money. I would have needed to get a full-time job had churches not gone on board with what we were doing there in Falls City. And I didn't go on full-time deputation to raise support to start the church in Nebraska, but I made a few phone calls to some local churches near where we were and some friends who took us on for support. So it was just enough for us to be able to live there, to pay the bills of the church and to pay our personal bills. And honestly, it was miraculous how we were able to live on the income that we had. The guy who did our taxes, He was just in shock about how much money we had. He's like, "How are you able to do this?" You know, like, I honestly don't know. So I remember one Sunday, or rather leading up to a Sunday, it was in one week. Once we had received the offering at church, and we had received, of course, we have monthly income through the support. The support and the offering for that week was not enough to pay for a bill that was coming up. And I was really stressed out about it. So I wrote a letter to our supporting churches. And it was kind of bathed in tears, you know? And I was afraid we weren't going to be able to make our payments. So I wrote this letter. I sent it out to all of our supporting churches. And there was some who gave a little extra to help us. But if I would have just waited, because the following Sunday, the offering was more, it was the biggest offering we'd ever had. And it was more than enough to pay the bill that I was nervous we weren't going to have enough to pay. What I'm saying is this. I think sometimes we think what we need is money. We tell ourselves, you know what we need? Is we need money. I have this bill, I have this financial stress, circumstance, whatever it is. We get to that point and we tell ourselves we need money. And then in a pursuit of that money, whatever need we have, we throw out the lifeline. And we seek help in different ways. And I'm not saying that it's always wrong to seek help. I'm not saying that. But we should always understand something as it relates to money. Is there's one thing that we need more than we need money. We need God.
Amen.
And it's going to require you to have faith to embrace that. So that you'll seek God and not money. So that we'll seek God and not money. Let me read our text again and then we'll be done. Verse 13. Well, let's read verse 12. For wisdom is a defense and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Why is that true? Consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? Consider the work of God. Consider who we serve. Seek him. Seek him. And not money. Embrace that this morning. I think it'll not just change us, it'll help us. Father, we thank you for this great thought that we all need to embrace because there's nobody in this room who one of two things with this, that we don't have a temptation, and we all at times have a temptation to think that winning in this life is related to our financial status. But it isn't. It's wisdom. It's walking with you and seeking you and understanding that what matters is our trust that you can not just make provision, but you can lead us in the right path. And I pray that you'd help us this morning to live in faith so that we would seek you and not see money as the source of what causes us to win, but just you. Lord, we trust you. I pray that you'd help us to have faith in this important area of our life as it relates to finances. And we'll give you glory for what you do and what you've already done. In Jesus' name.